Welcome to the Lansdale Life Church Podcast. If you're seeking a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Lansdale Life. Let's give the Lord a shout out. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Praise the Lord. All right. I'm here to pump you up. And Pastor Chris, you're probably watching, so you, and I've got the clock up there. Don't worry. I'll end by 1 o'clock. And Pastor Chris called me and he said, man, he said, I'm going to be away with the fam. And he said, can you substitute, sub-teacher? And I, yeah, of course. I said, but I'm really busy. I'm working on the Bronx translation of the New Testament. And he said, really? I said, yeah, you know, that verse that says, grace and peace be you from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ, Bronx translation, how you doing? How you doing? And that other verse, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Bronx translation, forget about it. Forget about it. All right. So here we are, and I'm just so thankful to be here. We are in Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at the three lettuces. I don't know if I was going to bring in a head of lettuce for an illustration, but I thought, no, that's really unsophisticated. And I am just coming in from New York City, and yesterday afternoon, we had several hundred people meeting in Lower Manhattan on West 14th Street, and we did 7 hours of prayer and worship and just radical shouting out to the Lord. Amen. So let's give the Lord a hand clap for that. So I'm fired up. So please fasten your seatbelts. If you feel lightheaded, we have oxygen that will drop down from the ceiling. And if you would turn in your Bibles to Hebrew chapter 10, verses 19 through 26. The title of the message this morning is Solo Christianity a Thing? Or you could also say, no more solo Christianity. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we pray that you would just pierce our hearts with your word this morning. Oh God, we want to hear from you, Jesus. We don't want to hear from a preacher, a teacher. Lord, we want to hear from you. So God, as your word says, Lord, that use your word as surgery on our hearts and lives. Jesus, we love you today, and we're so thankful that you have changed our lives. We are happy. We are filled with hope. And God, just fill each man and woman and young person, teenager, Lord, the children that are being taught right now, just fill them with your grace, your love, your mercy, and your excitement about what you're doing in the world today. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name, like they pray in Nigeria, and all God's people shouted. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, therefore, brothers and sisters, verse 19, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great power over the house of God, here's the first, let us. Let us draw near to God with a sincere, other translation says, a connected heart, and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, like we just sang about, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Here's let us number two. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. Can we get a witness on that somewhere up in here? And number three, and let us, and this is the focus of the teaching this morning, consider how we may spur or agitate or stimulate one another on toward agape love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. So I am here this morning, saints at Lancella. And by the way, if you came and you don't know Jesus, you're in the right place. And if you came and you do know Jesus, you're in the right place. Amen. And now I am here to agitate you. So I hope you're, I believe in the doctrine of agitation. So let me give you a home-based illustration. Now you're thinking, please lock the doors, don't anyone leave. And agitation, so how do you get your clothes clean? Most people say soap and water. That is not how you get your rocks or banging on rocks where I go in Africa, Middle East, and Central Asia. You know, they don't have washing machines. They bang it on a rock. No, the only way you get your clothes clean is by agitation. Anybody here like sweet tea? I believe in the doctrine of agitation. I believe in the doctrine of stirification. So I'm here to stir you up. Anybody here like sweet tea? All right, I see a few hands. Now, how do you make sweet tea sweet? Wrong answer. When you want sweet tea to be sweet, you put in the sugar, and then where does it go? It settles down to the bottom. So what do you have to do, saints? Stir it up. So the doctrine of agitation and the doctrine of stirification will prevent you from getting spiritual constipation. Amen? Can I get a witness on that somewhere up in here? Yeah, I can wrap that, but I won't. You know, who here likes, by show of hands, who here likes constipation? Don't raise your hand. Come on. Don't raise your hand. And so this morning, I want to take you on a journey on the three let us-esses. All you grammatical people can correct me on that. But I also want to take you on a quick journey, if we could have, because for those of you who don't know PB, I am a missionary pastor of Lansdale Life. I was pastor in a big church in Manhattan 12, 13 years ago, and God used three words: God, gospel, good news. And the reason I share this story is I want God to stir you up this morning. I was hoping to hear an amen. I mean, okay. I want God to agitate you this morning. Amen? Because you see, the word of God is useless unless it can be applied. Application is the key word. And you know, the word of God is the most exciting book in the entire world, right? I mean, it should excite us. It should inflame us. It should, Lord, do the necessary surgery on my life. Hallelujah. So I can be a different person. I can be, you know, and Nancy D, that's my wife. We just celebrated 45 years of marriage. Hallelujah. You can give the Lord a hand clap for that. And she gave me a really nice anniversary card, and I opened it up, and it was, this is a little strange, it was a get well card. And I'm like, yo, Nance, what's up? What's up? And I opened it up, and it said, get better soon. And I was like, Nance, why the get well card? And she said, well, I want you to get better soon. Amen. I hope you got all that. Maybe that's, yeah, so she wants me to be a better husband. So I pray as we look at the, now you're shaking your head, get better, comma, soon. Okay, you got it. All right. You know, it's terrible when you have to explain a joke. So I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better grandfather. We just had grandchild number 13 born 4 weeks ago. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Yeah. So little Jack Devlin is now 1 month old, John Michael. And, you know, all of you that have little kids, if you think your lives are busy going to soccer, baseball, you know. So Nancy and I tripled our fun. We went from 5 to 13. And I taught my kids, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to take you on a quick journey. Since I am your missionary pastor, I want to excite you as we look at the let us-esses and the one another's of the Word of God. So I'm just in from Cuba. I don't know if you can bring some of these photos up, but we'll burn through those very, very quickly. And if not, then we'll just go into the teaching of the Word. Okay, we good? All right. Okay, good. So here we are, and the first slide is, yeah, thank you, Lansdale Life. You made it happen. Just 11 months ago, somebody gave me, if you can believe this, 23 tons of rice. Now, who gives somebody 23 tons of rice? One guy I met one time, 23 tons of rice. I won't go into all the details. I said, where is it? He said, it's in Bangkok, Thailand. And I was like, well, what do you want me to do? And he said, I bought the rice, $30,000. I'm paying for the shipping from Bangkok all the way to Ashdod, Israel. And Pastor Dev, all you have to do is to get it from Ashdod, Israel, into the two Christian churches in Gaza. It's about 30 miles, but it's the hardest 30 miles you can ever imagine. So I called 35 organizations, Canada, Israel, U.S., and 52 people, friends of mine that are in those organizations. And I said, I got 23 tons of rice we're going to give to the starving Christians at the two churches, Greek Orthodox and Catholic, inside Gaza. The churches have been there for like 2,000 years. And everybody told me, impossible. You can see this article on the Christian Post. So all these people said, yeah, well, this is impossible. And I said, well, isn't there a verse that says that which is impossible with God is impossible with man is possible with God? Yeah, we know the verse, but this is impossible. Well, do you know on December 19, 2024, that ship landed in Ashdod, Israel, and through my partnership with Franklin Graham at Samaritan's Purse, we got 23 tons of rice into Gaza. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. So there it is. There it is in the middle of a war. So do you believe God can do the impossible? Next slide, please. Yeah, God can do the impossible. And that's what we want him to do in your life today. Amen. So whatever you're going through, and really the first lettuce talks about going boldly to the throne of God. And if you remember that, if you're taking notes, the first lettuce talks about going to the very throne of God boldly. And my question for you this morning, Lansdale Life, are you praying big prayers? I mean, that can be convicting. 25 years ago, when I was doing ministry in the hood in Philly and raising five kids there, God gave me a word one day, and he said, my son, begin praying that I would give you a ministry like the Apostle Paul. I was like, Lord Jesus, that is like an apostle. You want me to have a ministry like the Apostle Paul? I prayed that prayer for 15 years. Every day, Lord, give me a ministry. I had no idea what I was praying, but I wanted to go boldly, just like the word here says. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This is the new and living way. We don't have to go to a priest. We don't have to sacrifice an animal. Lansdale Life, I want you to go boldly to the throne of God, much as I did when I said, Lord Jesus, we need to get this rice into these starving Christians. In fact, I intentionally put myself in difficult positions. Now you're thinking he really is crazy. The butter has slipped off the noodles, the elevators go to the top floor. He's three French fries short of a Happy Meal and two tacos short of a combination plate, right? But I think in this day and age, you know, everybody's saying, wow, the Lord is coming soon. Maranatha, we hope he comes next week because my mortgage is due. Hallelujah. And so, you know, are you praying big prayers? Are you going boldly to the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, I want you to do miracles. I want you to do signs and wonders and manifestations. Hey, I was trained in a Presbyterian seminary, and now I'm on my way to becoming an Anglican priest so I can be more effective. And I believe in signs and wonders and miracles and manifestations because I've seen God do those over in Africa, Middle East, and Central Asia. You can give the Lord a hand clap for that, amen? So are you going boldly to the throne of grace? When I got here to East Pokot, this is the northwest section of Kenya, and I was almost pranked in getting there and going there, and the Lord opened up the door, and these little girls, I'm going to say a graphic word, These little girls, once they have their first menstruation, they put beads in their hair. I've shared this with you before because guess what? Lansdale Life had just helped me build school number 20 for these little girls. You can give the Lord a hand clap for that, Lansdale Life. Amen. And so I was asked to go, and I said, where is this? And they said, well, there hasn't been a Mzungo there in 80 years. The last Mzungo, white guy in Swahili, went to this area 80 years ago, and the Pokot tribe tried to kill him. It's a tribe of 200,000. They live the same way today that they lived 2,000 years ago, and they've never heard the name of Jesus. Wouldn't you like to go preach in a place where they've never heard the name of Jesus? It's exciting because you kind of feel like you're in the first century. You know, Paul, you're there with Paul on the steps of the temple, and these people have never, Jesus, who's that? We went there and we said, have you ever heard about Jesus? And one guy said through my translator, he said, what tribe is he a member of? Is he Pokot, Samburu, or Marigot? So we began going there 8 years ago, and we discovered that these little girls at age 11, once they have their first menstruation, they put beads in their hair, and that's signaling to the tribe that they're ready to be mutilated and ready to be married. So FGM, female genital mutilation, was 100% in this tribe. Bang, bang, we came in preaching the gospel underneath trees. We came in building these schools. And we have, to the glory of God, with Lansdale Life's help, we have revolutionized this entire area. And 10% of this tribe has now come to faith in Jesus Christ. You can give the Lord a hand clap for that. So are you, Hebrews 10, are you going boldly to the throne of grace? What are you asking God for? You know, now it's okay to pray for, you know, prayers like, you know, Aunt Tilly's lumbago. And whatever lumbago is, I just made that up. And, or, you know, you pray these prayers, Lord, Lansdale Life, are you praying big prayers? The first lettuce, are you coming boldly before the throne of grace? And let us draw near to God. Because guess what? You got an easy pass to the throne of heaven. Amen? Isn't that a great illustration? Man, I'm going, you know, I was on a road the other day. It said 95, so I was going 95 miles an hour. That's a joke. I'm sorry, I didn't go 90. And so I just sped through the easy pass, going to the Holland Tunnel. You know, they just do it electronically. That's the access that you have to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So you have your easy pass to the very throne of God. So what are you praying about? Are you going boldly? So praise God. After these girls are mutilated, it's a ceremony. It's a rite of passage. How do you stop that? Well, we began preaching the gospel. Then we found out this area has never had schools before. And I began raising money with the help of Lansdale Life. And we've now just finished our 20th school, delivering hundreds of these little East Pokot girls from FGM. And then after they're healed up a year later at age 12, their own father sells them to the highest bidder for 30 goats or 30 head of cattle. And we've been able to break that demonic, satanic chain. Amen. Glory to God. Next slide. Yeah. And so continue to pray. I've got a couple of other just exciting things because, you see, this was not accomplished unless my teams in 21 countries went boldly before the very throne of God. So Lansdale Life, I want you to pray big prayers. You know, it's okay to pray small prayers, but don't we have a big God? Amen. We have a big God. We have an awesome God. We have a God who can do the impossible. So next slide, please. So I just asked God to give me, now I'm a little strange, but I asked God to give me impossible things to do. Why? In order so God can show his strong right hand. Amen? And that's what we want to see in our life, right? You know, the worst thing that you can have is boring faith. I mean, who wants a boring faith? Here I am. We're dancing around with the warriors here. I'm on the guy on the left there. and we're dancing. All these warriors, you know what men do for a living there? They kill people. They go to other tribes. The Pequot goes to the Marigot and the Sambu, and they steal their cattle. Well, you know, we started preaching the gospel underneath trees. Next slide, please. And we went to a chief, and we said, "Chief, bring in all your warriors." And so all these guys came, 31, and I said, "Lord Jesus, I'm ready to go. If I get speared to death or shot with a bow and arrow, whatever." And so we went there preaching the gospel, amen, with clarity, with understanding, and all 31 warriors came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, now it takes 12 hours to get there. And if you want to come with me, men, amen? Who said that? You're on tape. You're coming. Okay, I see that hand. Yes, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you come with me, bro, I'm going to make a public promise to you. I'll pay for a one-way flight. So here we are, brokered a meeting with 31 warriors, and they all come to faith in Jesus Christ. It is so exciting when we go over there. And the other 20 places I go, I just was in Cuba doing Jesus Youth Festivals. Before that, I was in Armenia, meeting with persecuted Christians. Too many stories, not enough time. But let's have an exciting faith, amen? Let's. That's why I say I'm here to pump you up, Hans and Franz. And we want you to have an exciting faith because we don't want, you know, heaven is not going to be boring. Right, people, you know, I talk with unbelievers. Well, what are we going to be doing in heaven? You know, we're going to be sitting around strumming harps and flying around. And I said, no, we're going to be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're going to be worshiping at his feet and just praising God for all eternity. That's exciting stuff. So next, and then here we go. We're baptism in East Pequot. So these warriors are getting saved. We've developed over 1,900 farms, hello, because what's their job? Killing people. Hey, bro, you can't kill people anymore. Put away your bows and arrows. And so now we've developed 1,900 farms. We have an agronomist from Nairobi who goes in there and teaches them how to farm, and these guys are loving it. And then after they come to faith in Christ, we baptize them in this muddy river. And it has crocodiles in it. But we say, look, bro, you're saved now. So if you get eaten by a croc, you know, you'll be good. You'll be good. Amen. And so it's great just to, and that river, by the way, separates the two warring tribes. So when we're out there, this is exciting. When we're out there, one of the tribes is lined up on one side of the river, or the other tribe, and these are tribes that have been warring 2,000 years, and we're bringing them together, seeing them get saved by the blood of the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world. We'll put down. Next slide. So let us come boldly and draw near to God and pray. Lansdale Life, pray big prayers. Don't be satisfied with your Christian life now, okay? Well, what exciting things. You know, let's win Lansdale for Christ. Let's win Hatfield, 19440, 19446. I memorize zip codes to stave off dementia. And let's just win these places for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be bold, be strong. I was given the task in northern Nigeria to rescue 16 children that were kidnapped 6 years ago. Check this out. They changed all their names from Christian names to Muslim name. And I was given the assignment to go rescue 16 kids. Yeah, wow, I heard that. I said, Lord, only you can do this, right? So we sing songs about the power of God. We read scriptures about the power of God and the word of God. Have you seen the power of God operative in your life? Amen. Okay, let me say that again. Have you seen the power of God operative in your life? Amen. Amen. You know, that's why Jesus said, Isaiah 61, I came to preach deliverance. I came to preach to get the prisoners free. Those are in bondage, amen? How many people in Lansdale, in Perkasie, in Sellersville, in Karjakistan? How many, I just made that up. How many of those do you think are in bondage? That's why I dress like this. You know, people think I'm a weirdo. Well, guess what? I am a weirdo. I'm a weirdo for Jesus. I'm a Jesus freak, amen? Like Bob Dylan said, you know, you got to say amen. Give the Lord a hand clap for Jesus freaks. Yeah. I know Lansdale Life, I think, has the highest percentage of Jesus freaks in one church. Amen. Okay. Here's the head Jesus freak right here. No, Pastor Chris and First Lady Jill, you're the head Jesus freaks. But let's be more weird, right? So I dress like this in all 21 countries I go to, and people know exactly what I am and who I am. I'm there to represent Jesus, and I'm rocking the cross, baby, okay? And where in New York City yesterday, I took a train from Penn Station to Trenton. No lie, six people came up to me on the train. Here I am, just minding my own business. And they said, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "It's not Halloween yet." and they're like, "Yeah, you know what they say? I mean, this happens. It's happened. I think I'm in quadruple digits over 1,000 times." And I'll say, "Well, what's your name? What's your name?" And they'll tell me, you know, Sam. And I say, "Sam, what can I pray for you?" "Oh, you know, my marriage is falling apart. I'm out of money." And I said, "Well, Sam, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to do something better. I'm going to anoint you with the oil of the Lord." I have done this hundreds of times on the subway in New York City, on the trains, overseas. And you know what? No one has ever refused me. So Lansdale Life, be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Joshua 1:9. Boldly approach the throne of grace. So I went to get these children out. I went, this is a crazy story. And 99.9%. So I go to the actual Islamist home, and I'm there to meet a government official. I've got a court order in my hand for the release of 16 children. And I waited 5 hours with my Nigerian team. Her van finally pulls up. Military people step out. She had like 15 people in the van. And she looks at me and she says, "Pastor, Commissioner of Women's Affairs, Pastor, you go to Hades, hell. You'll never get these children." I said, "Madam, Your Excellency, I have a court order." "I don't care about that court order." She goes over and she starts yelling at the children. 16 children were all gathered between the ages of 7 and 18. I'm there to put them in our car and take them to the Christian orphanage. And she's over there berating. "If you go with that pastor, we're going to find you and we're going to kill you and you're going to go to hell." And these kids are like, they're like cowering. And I'm filming the event of her yelling at the children with my cell phone. And she turns to me and she says, "Stop filming." And then they start speaking in their tribal language. And I turn to my Nigerian team leader, Barrister Emmanuel Agebe. And I said, what is she saying? And she's saying, the people in her entourage are saying, "Let us pick up the rocks here in this home and let us smash the pastor's phone. Let us smash his car, and let us smash him." They were getting ready to stone me and my Nigerian team leader. This happened in late April of 2025. And we're there, and they're speaking in their tribal language. And then I just stopped and prayed. I said, "Lord, if you want me to bear the wounds of getting stoned to death like St. Stephen, I'm ready to go." Because you know what? For us to live as Christ, Lansdale Life, to die is gain. Can I get a witness on that? "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the grace of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for us." Does that settle with you, brothers and sisters? He loved us and gave his life for us. So what will we do for him? Will you boldly go to the throne of grace? Let us. Will you boldly persevere in the faith? I have a very simple six-word motto in my life. And I've told Nancy this, our five kids, their spouses. And by the way, they're all serving Jesus. I don't know how that happened. But all 13 grandchildren are being raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people say, why? You know, I don't have a perfect marriage. I have a successful marriage. And how did that happen? I said, by the grace of God. And because Nancy and I prayed every night for the last 45 years for our family, no matter how tired we are, we're laying in bed, okay, hey, who's going to pray tonight? And all of a sudden, you know, I'm praying. All of a sudden, I fall asleep, and Nance will, like, knock me in the head. Hey, wake up. And there was a recent survey done by Baylor University of pastors in the United States. This is sad. And they found out in the pastors they queried and surveyed, 9 out of 10 pastors don't pray with their wives. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're groaning. Amen. So we need a revolution of prayer to pray big prayers. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace. Amen? And that's what I'm challenging you to. And then that motto. So the second let us is let us persevere. Let us hold fast. You know, compare yourself to the persecuted church in Nigeria, right? You know, we think we have problems, right? I'm going to show you just pictures of my church that I pastor in Nigeria. Here's Nathaniel, shot in the face 5 times by Boko Haram. He just went to be with the Lord last week. And he had after he got shot, multiple strokes. And yet, you know what he said? He said, I will remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ until the day I die. This is what your Nigerian brothers and sisters are going through. You know how many Christians, Boko Haram, Islamic State, West Africa Province, Fulani, jihadists have killed so far this year? 8,000. If you do the math by the end of the year, you divide 365 into 8,000, you know what you get? 22 Christians a day are martyred in Nigeria simply because they love Jesus. Here's my brother Habila, Abel, in the Hausa language. Boko Haram came to his house. They stuck a pistol, but the end of a pistol right in his nostril. And they said, we're going to give you 3 opportunities to deny Jesus Christ. And they said, on the third one, if you want to deny Christ, we'll let you live. And first time, I'm not going to deny Christ. Second time, not going to deny Christ. Third time, not going to deny Christ. Third time, bang! And the bullet miraculously went through his skull, bounced off the inside of his spine, and then blew the right side of his face off. And you know what? Habila, before that, he's still alive. Praise God. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for that. And now he meets with the terrorist. And he says, you know what? You tried to kill me. And you failed. You want to try again? Go ahead. And if you kill me, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen? So on your worst day, you think of the church in Nigeria, the church in Gaza, the church in Sudan, where I'll be next month, the church in Syria, the church in Jordan, the church in Afghanistan, where I go, the church in Pakistan, where I go, the church in Sri Lanka. You see, we need to be praying boldly. Here I am in April of this year at a mass grave in northern Nigeria, and we're going to put a memorial for the 37 adults and 17 children that were hacked to death with machetes. Because you see, Boko Haram they'll say to the Christians, we're not going to waste bullets on the infidels, which is you. You're all infidels, by the way. You're all infidels. And we're not going to waste bullets on infidels. And they just hacked them to death. Here is Alice Stevens. I want you to pray for Alice Stevens. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Pray for the persecuted church that they would persevere. Amen? And think about this. On Palm Sunday night, The Islamic terrorists come into Zika village in Bassa County in northern Nigeria in Plateau State. And they hacked to death 37 adults and 17 children. Alice Stevens, pray for Alice. They come into Alice's mud hut. These are farming villages. They killed her husband, machete, her mother-in-law, her father-in-law, her brother-in-law. Alice is holding her little 10-month-old Mary. They take out the machetes. They cut off this little 10-month-old's ears. And then they slit the baby's throat. And then they go to her, Alice's 3-year-old, slit his throat. They go to her 10-year-old, and they cut open his stomach, and his intestines come out. And then they come after Alice, and the last blow that they do, they take their machete, and then they come in on the top of the head, and they split your skull open, and then your brains come out, and that's how you die. So Alice went like this, and they chopped off her right hand, but it saved her life. I met Alice 2 weeks after in the hospital when she was still recovering, and her 10-year-old son survived. Alice had mad PTSD, and she said, "Dr. William, I wish I was dead." And I said, "Alice, I know that, and you know what? I prophesied when I met with her, I said, Alice, within 3 months, we're going to get you a prosthesis." This was April, May, June, July. I said, "In end of July, you're going to have a prosthesis so your hand will be replaced." And I prayed for her, and I said, "Alice, persevere. Persevere." And I told her, my life motto is start strong, 2 words, stay strong, finish strong. Amen? Just 6 words, so say it with me. And this is, I want you, if you don't have a life motto, please, Lansdale Life, adopt this as your life motto. Here we go. Repeat after me. Start strong. A little louder. Start strong. Stay strong. Finish strong. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for finishing strong. So you think about those Christians around the world. You know, 80% of all people of faith that are martyred are Christians. So remember to pray for them. So start strong, stay strong, finish strong. And then finally, let us, this is the third let us spur one another to love and to good works. Amen. And that's what we need to do, because that's the title of the message, if you thought I forgot it. The Christian life was never meant to be lived alone. Can I repeat that? The Christian life was never meant to be lived alone. You know, I tell people, hey, why did Jesus have 12 disciples? Divisible by two. Amen? Why did Jesus send out the 70? Divisible by two. 35 teams of two. So, you know, right now there's a phenomenon within the evangelical church, non-denominational churches, called, have you heard of it? Deconstruction. And these are folks that have been so burned out by, you know, fighting and politics within the church, which, praise God, it's absent from this church. But they're finally saying, I'm fed up, you know, pastors abusing children, pastors having sex with women who are not their wives, pastors stealing money. And these folks are like, they're deconstructing. And they're basically saying, I never want to be in another church anymore for the rest of my life. Well, I say to them, God never, according to Hebrews 10, verses 24, 25, it says, let us gather together. Let us agitate one another. Let us stir one another up. Let us spur one another to love and to good deeds. I think that's the next slide. So the Christian life was never meant to be lived alone. If you are thinking that you can live in isolation, and this is funny because I'm talking to the people that are here, right? So you're here. You understand the nature. You know, why do we call it communion? Yeah, community, right? We're supposed to be communing with one another. So these are some of the bullets. And let me just say this radical thought. If you think you can live the Christian life in isolation, you will never make progress. That's pretty hardcore, isn't it? You know, and men, particularly men, we got a problem. We got a problem. I always say to men, you know, it's kind of like 9 out of 10 pastors are not praying with their wives. I mean, what the heck? What is that about? And I say to men, can I have the phone number of another man that I could call right now that you're accountable to, that knows every secret, that knows your walk with Jesus, whether you're walking with Jesus or whether you're doing the fishizzle? I don't know if you've ever heard of that word before, but... And so we can't live in isolation. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Men, the only way you're going to stay sharp in your faith, because people ask me that all the time, where do you get the energy? Because I meet with Jeff Howe from Calvary, Philly, every Friday morning at the Panera Bread on Street Road in Busselton in Feasterville, Trevose, PA, 8 a.m., bang, bang. I got saved June 26, 1971, hitchhiking on San Diego Freeway. Many of you know, the guy from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, came out, and I think God sent me an angel to get me saved because I was such a hard case. But think about this. About 4 days later, I got invited to a Bible study on the base, the Navy base of San Diego, and the guy teaching it came up to me afterwards. And he put his finger in my chest and he said, "Who are you?" And last name, Devlin, military. And he said, "When are you leaving for Vietnam?" And I said, "In a couple months." He said, finger in the chest. He said, "You're going to be here every Friday." You don't mind, do you? Okay, thank you for volunteering. He said to me, "So you're PB, right?" I'm 18 years old and I'm like, "Why is this guy up in my grill, right?" And he says, "You're going to be accountable to me until the day you leave for Vietnam." I was like, "Yeah, amen." I was like, "Whoa." And guess what? Every Friday night, I was there learning the word of God, being discipled by this guy. I don't even remember his name. I don't think I ever got his name. But praise God, this guy, and if you could bring up that slide, because we're going to the end, because I need to finish in 9 minutes. You know who this is? This is Smitty. So I volunteered after I got saved. Again, I'm a Jesus freak. After I got saved, 2 weeks later, I volunteered to go fight in the Vietnam War. And a year after that, I got shot up. Praise God, I got the Purple Heart. Keep paying your taxes because you give me free medical care. And I'll be buried in Arlington. If you never see me again, my next location is Arlington National Cemetery. I'll be buried there. So you can come and type in William Devlin or Rev Dev or PB and you can see where my grave is. Praise God. But I won't be there. My address will have changed. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for that. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! I can't wait. Well, yeah, I can because I got things to do. For the Lord. And yet this verse... And so let me just back up. And so I get on this ship, a ship of 250 guys, and only two Christians. Me and Smitty. Say his name, Smitty. Bosun's mate, first class. And Smitty, as a young baby Christian believer, we met every day for prayer on board the ship because we'd be, you know, blowing up Vietnam and we'd be out to sea for 60 days. And I was ridiculed. People would come up to me and Smitty, "We're going to stop talking about Jesus. We're going to put you in a bag and throw you overboard." I was really, why did I join the Navy? Because I was afraid of sharks and drowning. Made no sense. Amen. But praise God. And so people would ridicule us. But I was accountable to Smitty for the next 2 years when we were both together in Vietnam. And you know what he did, sisters and brothers? He drilled accountability into my heart and life. And now for the last 55 years, I've always been accountable to another man. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand clap for that. Amen. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, thus saith the Lord. So men, could you have a number of a guy that I could call and say, how is this guy's walk with Christ? Is he a bootlegger, a scallywag, or is he really a disciple of Christ? You know, that's the bottom line, men. And so it's been different men over the last 55 years. But guess what? I do not want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And that word forsake means total abandonment. So when people are in this deconstruction movement, look, we need every one of you. Amen? This church needs every one of you. In the kingdom of God, I want you to memorize this. This blesses my soul. In the kingdom of God, there are no little people. Every one of you is integrally important to this church and to God. So if you're just sitting here warm in the pews on Sunday morning, Bronx translation, forget about it. You need to be engaged and say, oh, you know, somebody at the church offended me. Oh, I was offended. Well, hey, welcome to the offense club, you know? I'm an equal opportunity offender. I want to agitate people. I want to stir people up. I want to spur you to love and to good works, which is what Hebrews says. You know, Acts 2:42, let me parlay. And they continued devotedly, steadfastly, continually and faithfully in the apostles' teaching, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayer. So if you're not engaged, you need to get engaged, forsake. And if you're saying, well, I'm never coming back to church again, that word forsake, where in Hebrews 10:25, where it says, do not forsake. There's other verses, Matthew 27:46, 2 Tim 4:10, Hebrews 13:5. We must stay connected. So that word forsake means to leave helpless. So when you're not here engaged in ministry, guess what? You are leaving somebody helpless because you're all needed. When you're not here engaged at Lansdale Life, you leave someone in difficult circumstances. You know, it's such a blessing. My son-in-law just became a youth pastor at a church in Bucks County. He works full-time as a financial advisor. They tapped him, Dan Petty, bang. You're the youth pastor. My other son is an elder in the Presbyterian Church, Zachariah, 32 years old, got the anointing to be an elder. And I had some Presbyterian pastors call me. We said, man, we thought we got rid of the devilins. So are you accountable? Think about this. Someone here today needs you. Someone out there on Broad and Main needs you. And you need someone here. I want to give the last illustration. Go to the slide that's connective tissue. You know, we have something in our body. This is great. I started to read about this. You know what connective tissue is? You are filled with connective tissue. It's a type of biological tissue that's, listen, it supports, it binds together, it protects other tissues and organs in the body. It includes various forms of connective tissue such as bone, blood, cartilage, fat tissue, and plays, listen, essential roles, application in maintaining the structure and function of the body. So without connective tissue, you're going to fall apart. This is you. This is, I thought about, I want to like prank somebody here, like Des or something, you know, get him on the slide. Yeah. I don't know this guy. I just, you know, thank God for ChatGPT. So you see the point? If you're not connected, if you're not in communion, then guess what? You're just one big blob. Yeah, just like this poor guy. And you're just a puddle on the sidewalk. Look at this poor fellow. He can't do anything. All he's good for is like people stepping on him, right? So be connected. Be connected. And finally, and by the way, at the end, as we close in prayer, and I do this every time I come to Lansdale Life, if the God has spoken to your heart, and I'm ready to explode, I'm telling you, because I am a lover of the Christian church. Regardless of all the fashizzle that goes on, we need to stay connected. Don't forsake one another. Jesus wants you to be connected. You know, Jesus went to church. Did you know that? He went to the synagogue. That's why they asked him. I said, hey, you read the scroll today, Isaiah 61. So if Jesus went to church, I'm going to church because I ain't no better than Jesus. And so you can tell the people that, you know, oh, you know, I'm not coming to church anymore. So, oh, are you better than Jesus? Finally, there's 59 one another's in the New Testament. Did you know that? And I'm going to read just 10 of them. I know, I pranked you a little bit. You thought I was going to read all 59. Be at peace with one another. Wash one another's feet. Love one another. 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 There's five love one another's. Love one another with brotherly affection. Romans 12. Outdo one another in showing honor. Live in harmony with one another. Here, Romans 13. Love one another. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Instruct one another. Greet one another with a bros, holy kiss. Come on. When you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if it's your wife, that's fine. Have the same concern for one another. Through love, serve one another. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Bear one another's burdens. And the final of the 24, with patience, bearing one another in love. So my accountability to all these men, and sisters, this is for you as well. I do what I call the five F's. The five F's. I'm accountable to Jeff Howe Friday morning, 8 a.m. And by the way, it's non-negotiable. What does that mean? It always happens. It always happens. Just like me and Nancy D praying every night. Non-negotiable. Do you have non-negotiables in your life with your walk with Jesus? Are there things that you said, I gotta do, I gotta read the word, I gotta pray, I gotta do deeds of love and mercy to the community? You know, do you have those, I gotta meet with another man, so iron sharpening iron. Women, are you meeting with another woman? Iron sharpening iron. You know, when you see just the revolution, the sad revolution of pornography in men and women in the Christian church, it's a cancer, it's scandalous. Because we, you know, it's all on the phones. And so are we getting help for these things? And are we accountable to one another? Don't forsake one another. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us persevere. And let us love one another and practice all 59 one another's. So thank you, Lansdale Life, for putting rocket fuel in my engine and sending me around the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we stand together and as we sing this last song, if you have a need, I'm going to stay here. You know, the children are going to be dismissed. You can pick up your kids in the nursery. But if you have a need, you just come forward. Let me confidentially pray for you and let me anoint you with the oil of the Lord. As we close and as we worship the Lord. Amen. So, Lansdale Life, did you hear the word of God this morning? Did you hear the word of God this morning? Let's give the Lord a shout out. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Please lead us. Amen.
Thanks for joining us at Lansdale Life Church as we praise God and discuss His word. Don't forget to join us for worship live Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Be blessed and have a great day.